Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French, and today I'm going to do something a little bit different because I wanted to share with you an interview I had with Johan Els. So he's the chief economist at Old Mutual Investments. And I was actually interviewing him for an article, and the conversation was so interesting. I thought, well, let me share it with my podcast listeners as well. And what was very interesting for me, and you'll hear Johan's arguments, is Johan believes that we should see the rand coming back all the way back to 14, 15 rand against the dollar. And this is very, very interesting, obviously, because I think we forget sometimes how much the rand can come back and how volatile it can be. But I think it's also very important for perhaps people who are looking to build an offshore portfolio, to invest offshore, that maybe there's an opportunity to wait for a bit of a stronger rand. And in this conversation, Johan also shared his views on the South African economy, and he explains why he believes right now we should be overweight South African shares. So take a listen.
But that, so leading on to the rand thing, that's part of the reason why I expect a stronger rand. Is this Fed rate cut coming will lead to a softer dollar? Not a weaker dollar. I think weaker dollar is too strong a word, a softer dollar. The combination of Fed rate cuts, lower U.S. returns, but also the lower growth in the U.S. compared to stronger growth in emerging economies. So a risk-on trade, foreign investors willing to take on slightly more risk in emerging economies for better returns. And all of that will lead to a softer U.S. dollar. And I've got sort of a target in mind towards 120 per euro. It's always difficult. It won't be exact because who can forecast the currencies? But I mean, that's to me softer. 150, 170, where it has often been in the past, to the euro, that will be weak. I don't think that's on the cards. But the softer dollar from 109 to the euro, 120-ish, that'll be good for the rand exchange rate. That graph shows that the rand is much weaker than the inflation differential fundamentals suggest it should be. And in my opinion, that's similar to the COVID lockdown crisis when the rand weakened substantially. And then the easy forecast was the rand will strengthen significantly, which happened. The difficult part of that forecast is when and to what level. In the event, it went from 19 to the dollar in April 2020 to 13.50 to the dollar in June 21. And of course, it didn't stay there. It drifted then again. But that's the type of moves we can potentially see again. So a softer dollar, a rand that's significantly undervalued compared to fundamentals, and then locally, less political and policy risk, upside growth potential, and we can talk about that one just now, upside growth potential, which would mean less fiscal risk. So easier to get the budget under control, easier to reduce the debt ratio, and likely potential upgrades in investment grade ratings. So the ratings agencies, while it will take a long time to get to investment grade, but the upgrade in ratings will gradually start. Better growth, less fiscal risk. So from a local side, combined with the dollar side, the rand can strengthen significantly over the next 6 to 9 months. And when I say significantly, probably again towards a 14 handle. And somebody else said to me the other day, you said 14. No, I'm saying 14 handle. That's between 14 and 14.99.
So that's a significant strengthening. I mean, we're not talking going to 17 here.
No, but that's short terms. That it won't stay there. Similar to that COVID recovery, it won't stay there. It's a short-term thing. But you know what? It might provide an opportunity for people who haven't balanced their portfolios where they want to be. That might be an opportunity. But then the rand will drift again, as it has after that COVID recovery. It will drift again. If we look towards the medium to longer term thing, that better economic growth, that less fiscal risk, plus perhaps moving towards that 3% inflation target in a year or two's time versus the 4.5% we have now. So from a 2.5% differential with the US inflation, we're moving to a 1% differential. And that will likely mean a more stable rand. in the longer term. Rand will still be volatile, but relative to the volatility we've had, slightly more stable rand exchange rate. And that, combined with my view of better local growth, less risk, etc., and a risk on trade towards emerging economies, that strengthens my view that we should be overweight SA investments and not overweight offshore investments. And all of us will have different risk profiles around that, but we need to be diversified. So you will have offshore investments, but I believe in that view, that macro view that I'm sketching, you should be overweight local, underweight offshore. And if you look at a typical balanced fund, a REC 28 fund, where you allow it 45% offshore, many people are more than that because of the investments they hold that's got links to offshore, etc. Many people sit at 60% offshore. I think you should sit at 20% offshore. That's my personal view. That's on a medium to longer term view. That's 5 to 7 years plus. So perhaps not immediately, but that's on that view. And that view, apart from a more stable currency, better growth, that comes from better growth. And my better growth, there's 2 points here that even before the elections, I said we can have a growth uplift from 1% towards 2.5% on a sustained basis. Because of the stronger role of the private sector in the economy. Initially, that came through from electricity. And incidentally, that policy change that allowed private sector to generate as much electricity as they want to, that policy change, in my opinion, apart from the shift from apartheid to a democratic society, is the biggest policy change ever in South Africa. That's huge. And we've seen some of that benefit. And that's now rolling over, in, as you would have seen, into logistics, into investment in the electricity grid, into water supply, etc. So the private sector role is growing and growing. And it's not forced through, some people speculated, by prescribed assets. It's encouraged through making public-private partnerships easier, easing the regulation and making it easier for the private sector to get involved. So from 1% annual average growth over the last decade or so, roughly, towards 2.5%, that's a significant difference. And perhaps soon we can start to talk about 2.5 to 3 because of the better outcome of the election compared to expectations. So perhaps better oversight in terms of policy implementation, perhaps less chance for corruption, etc. And then if we think about that 2.5 to 3, we ideally in South Africa need 5 to 6. But to put this in perspective, we're not getting 5 to 6. Absolutely not. Because of the inherent negatives around municipal failure that Operation Vulindlela is going to work on now, but it's going to take a while. So municipalities, the big areas where we need to do the investment, they haven't got the capacity in terms of financial managers, project managers, engineers, etc. Municipal failure. The next one is we haven't fixed the education system in 30 years. So that skills deficit is still huge. And then, of course, the regulated labor market. So those three things, plus this whole host of others, that means it's highly unlikely to ever get towards 5-6% sustained growth. But to get from 1% to towards 2.5 to 3, that's 3 times, that'll make a serious impact in terms of profitability, employment, consumer spending, future investment returns. So when foreign investors look at South Africa, and they group us roughly in a grouping in emerging markets with Argentina and Brazil and Turkey. And Russia used to be in that group before the invasion of Ukraine. But when they group us in that group, and then we stand out as better, not even thinking about asset pricing, etc. But if we're in that grouping, we stand out, we're better than the rest in terms of corruption. South Africans think we're the worst in the world in terms of corruption, but we're not. We stand out, we're better. In terms of political instability, we're better. In terms of checks and balances built into our system, the constitution, the rule of law, etc., we're better. So when foreign investors is thinking about risk on trade, they think about South Africa versus Argentina or Turkey and Brazil. And when they think about this future better economic growth, so relatively cheap assets, significant growth potential and lots of checks and balances built into the system, we're going to get some of that foreign inflows. And that's part of the rand argument there as well.
So, and then would, obviously, as the rand strengthens, we have that huge benefit to the inflation figure as well, because obviously that's a huge player into our inflation rate. So do you see, if all of this happens, if we start seeing the rand strengthen back to, say, 15, could we see rate cuts faster than currently predicted? I mean, the banks at the moment are only really expecting up to sort of 100 basis points by July next year.
I don't think so. And the reason for that is because I don't think the rand, I don't expect the rand to stay that strong. So every time in the past when the rand has strengthened so significantly, yeah, it helps in the immediate impact in terms of a petrol price calculation, et cetera. So some of the benefit does come through in terms of inflation. But the Reserve Bank will not forecast, and neither will I, that the rand will stay there. So I don't think it'll have a significant further impact in terms of more rate cuts than we expect. Plus, also, at the back of their minds will be this potential for a lower inflation target, the 3% target. So if they cut too much and then Treasury instructs them to go for after a 3% target, then they have to hike significantly again. And I think the smoother cycle will be better, less volatility. So I'm also around 150 basis points of rate cuts in the cycle, but not more than that.
So could I mean, we could comfortably say then, so where are we sitting at the moment on prime? It's 11.75. So you're saying a 10.25 prime is kind of what South Africans need to get their heads around? Because I think there's a lot of people who think it's going to go back to seven, you know?
No. Absolutely. You're quite right there. It's not going to back. It's not that cycle. Absolutely not. As an aside, it's good that Treasury hasn't instructed the Reserve Bank to yet implement a 3% inflation target. Because if so, then we won't see any rate cuts at all in this cycle. But what I'm hearing is that Treasury is too busy at the moment with the budget, trying to fix the fiscal situation. They haven't got capacity to focus on an inflation target now. So they won't instruct the central bank. And perhaps at the back of the minds, the same argument that I'm making, that if they do instruct the Reserve Bank now to go after a 3% target, Lesetja Kanyahu won't cut rates. So we need this cycle. And then perhaps this time next year or 2 years from now, Treasury says to the Reserve Bank, okay, now we'll go for 3% inflation target. But even then, I think they would need to implement it over a couple of years, 2-3 years at least. Otherwise, the Reserve Bank goes too quickly and kills the economy or kills the consumer again.
So what is an interest rate cycle? Are we talking, like, when you say this cycle, how long do you think this cycle is going to last?
Oh, in terms of length, when they start in September, probably 12 to 15 months. So it's not a long cycle, no. But then it will likely stay there for a while. So if we talk from the start of the cut to the next hike, that's probably 24 to 30 months. That's probably a little bit longer. But then again, you know, it's difficult to say now because let's say growth surprises significantly on the upside later next year. The Reserve Bank will certainly be worried about the inflationary impact of that. But we should sit with a stronger rand, less volatile rand. So, yeah, it's going to depend on how things play out. But I think we could have had even less volatility in the interest rate cycle had they started the cutting in July and not waiting till September.
So let's put an investor hat on. The investor's sitting here, and one of the things that we're seeing is every time the rand gets to 18, any South African who has any spare change is throwing it offshore, right? That the minute it gets to 18. And that seems to keep bouncing us back up over 18. But you're saying there's going to be a sustained drop all the way possibly down to 15. So if you're looking to invest offshore, you certainly don't want to be doing it right now. You may want to wait. And also we've got massive volatility and overvaluations in the US. So as a South African investor, just sit on your South African rands and your South African investments.
Yeah, and again, that point that better returns are coming to South African assets. Foreign investors are going to participate in that. Why should we lose out? And most of the people that you and I speak to are going to retire in South Africa and spend their money in South Africa. I mean, there's certainly less risk in South Africa now than 2 years ago, than a year ago, than 2 years ago, than in the Zuma period. So now is the time to turn around. And that's why I say overweight SA investments, because that's going to give you better returns, especially when people still focus on the rand as part of giving them that return. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. But a stronger rand might, as you say, if risk profiles differ. Somebody might want to be at 60% offshore because he's got kids offshore or will want to retire offshore or whatever. Other people
this
are going
not
to
a
certainly
rand
stay
play.
Here.
Yeah, this is not a rand
it's
play.
Not a rand play, and you need to think about your own risk profile. But in terms of people going to stay in South Africa, invest in South Africa, spend their money in South Africa, you need to be clear in your thinking why you want to be offshore overseas investments. You want to be overweight SA investments in this environment. And again, that's on a 5 to 7+ year time horizon. It's not a short-term thing.
And then, so that's the investor, the consumer. The consumer should see inflation coming off. They should start to feel a little less pressure on their pockets, which means possibly we'll see real wage increases, which we haven't seen for a while. And then also there will be some relief from interest rates, but not as much as I think people would like.
But still, the combination of the lower inflation, real wage, positive real wage growth, with lower interest rates, it's a double whammy of a number of positives coming together. And then, of course, as you've written yourself, the two-pot money that will, for some on the lower income side, certainly help. Not all of that will be spent, but the fact that some of that will go into repaying debt, that will also improve underlying balance sheets. So the other point I wanted to mention is that even in this weak economy over the past 2 years plus, from the start of 2022 to March 24, this weak economy has created 2.2 million new jobs. So if you think about the overall consumer, I mean, that base, that employed base have been growing. And if we think about better economic growth down the line, there should be more employment growth, positive employment growth, not to the extent that we need. So if the economy is growing at 2.5, employment is only going to grow at 1% per year because the labor market is too regulated. And South African labor is still seen as uneducated, too expensive, and too militant. And that holds back employers from employing too many people. But there will be employment growth. So that will help consumers. Mm. I've seen some of my colleagues out in the market now suddenly talk about the possibility of economic growth above 4%. But I'm clear that I think that's unlikely on a sustained basis. Sustained is the key word, because of the negatives of skills deficit, regulated labor market, municipal failure, etc. So there's a number of negatives that will keep us from going there. But from 1 to 2.5, 3, that's in the pipeline.
I think we forget how much the rand can swing. And people do still obsess about the rand, and they do still make investment decisions based on the rand.
Yeah.
And, you know, no matter how many times we've had the lesson that the rand should not be your reason for investing, we still make those mistakes.
Absolutely.